Hello and welcome back to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear about the beginnings and lives of the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. This season is sponsored by the wonderful people at Plant Grow, producers of award-winning organic fertilisers made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. In the first episode of this season, I talked to Andrew Perry from Urban Herbs. If you're on Instagram or even mildly interested in herbs, then the chances are that you've already come across Andy and his infectious passion for all things herb. Keep listening to hear all about how Urban Herbs came to be and the exciting plans for 2023, including an exclusive bit of news. For anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
So my name's Andy and I run a company called Urban Herbs that's based here in the UK. Essentially, Urban Herbs, if you boil it down to something really, really basic, we grow, stock and then dispatch a selection of herb plants across the UK. Prior to that, we were going around all different farmers markets, food festivals. We got out to see the world, you know, and then lockdown happened and the online community that we'd actually built kind of changed and it became actually the core business for us. So essentially each week between March and October, we dispatch literally thousands of orders of herb plants. Really unusual herb plants, foodie varieties, things that people haven't necessarily heard of, but I can guarantee they're going to love using in the cooking, or let's be honest, most of our customers are using them to make cocktails. And that's the core business. That's the core of what we do. But it's much, much more than that because we post 365 days a year through the social channels and we basically just promote and share the joy of growing these amazing foodie herb plants that actually they appeal to both gardeners, they appeal to foodies. They're what I call a gateway plant. They get people interested. Mm-hmm. And once you're a little bit interested, you can't turn back, basically. So I guess that is the core of what most people will know me for. Mm-hmm. As the guy behind the camera at Urban Herbs.
So that, as you said, you've kind of summarized the journey slightly there. How long before lockdown had Urban Herbs started?
So I started growing in 2010, and Urban Herbs, or Andrew's Plants as it was back then, it was only ever a 12-month project or maybe an 18-month project. I decided that the way to make my money in the world was to study the history of religion, and I wanted to do a master's degree in the history of religion at Birmingham University. And you can't get a student loan for a master's. So I needed a way of paying off the tuition fees. Yeah. And I came up with a cunning plan. That cunning plan was that I was going to build a polytunnel in my mom and dad's back garden. I was going to pot up and sell X thousand number of plug plants at local markets and pay off my tuition fees. And the plan worked. The business worked. I got my degree. I actually wrote some of it while sitting inside the polytunnel. genuinely hit send when I was at a farmer's market. The degree went really well. But at the end of it, I realized I actually had a functioning business that I actually loved, that I was really proud of. And back in early 2011, I had a conversation with my wife, my then girlfriend. And I said, should we give it one more year? Just see what happens. And yeah, we realized that that's kind of like 13 years ago. So across those 13 years, you know, essentially what we do has changed dramatically. In those early days, it was just attending farmers markets. But coming from a place like Birmingham, which is a very thriving kind of multicultural place, around 2012, 2013, the street food scene absolutely exploded in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to be part of that. So really, those amazing street food traders that we worked alongside, they actually gave us the confidence to sell our herbs as a food product, specifically as a food product, not, oh, these are plants that you can actually maybe sometimes use with food. It's like, no. Here's the herb menu. Here's your starter. Here's your main. Here's your dessert. So we kind of graduated onto those street food markets. And probably around 2014, we started attending some slightly bigger shows where the buzz of attending those shows is just phenomenal. Anybody listening to this that's been to like BBC Good Food Show, the moment when the doors open and the halls get filled by literally tens of thousands of foodies, it's an incredible buzz. And you learn more in those 4 days than you would in 4 years. At other events, because you're surrounded by people who are sort of saying, like, you know, celebrity chefs and stuff who stop by your stand and say, oh, wow, banana mint. Okay, well, I might use that for X, Y, and Z. And obviously then in 2020, prior to that, it was all going so well, you know? And 2020 happened, all of those in-person events got cancelled, and we had to reinvent ourselves overnight. And what we did was we expanded on the online community that we'd built. And basically in the space of about a week, me and my wife basically built an online store, and we worked out how to send plants in the post. Something that I've said before, and I'll say again, we genuinely had a conversation just after Boris went on TV. I said to my wife, we can't even afford the skip to chuck all these plants away. What are we going to do with them, seriously? Because they're all grown for mass events. We activated the online store, and the orders just poured in, and I mean poured in. We're not talking kind of like 500, 600, 700. We're talking thousands of orders because everyone was stuck at home. But it's more than that. We believe that people actually resonated with my message. They actually got that there's a human being here who is doing something he really loves, and he's in a bit of trouble here because what's he going to do with all his plants? And the energy that we got from people around that time, it kind of hasn't diminished. And we've just gone from strength to strength on the back of those people that supported us. You know, you'll talk to a lot of businesses who say, we did this, we did that. For me, it's more complicated than that, because I don't look at the growing space that we've got outside and think, oh, aren't we clever? Aren't we successful? I think about all the people who've supported us. Yeah. I think about all the people. I could pick up my phone right now and I could see maybe 10 messages from people who are saying, we can't wait for your online store to reopen. The space that we've got here, it belongs to those people.
Yeah.
They have literally supported us. They've literally helped us to not just survive, but actually grow and expand.
I think, no, you're totally right. And I think what you've been able to do is quite unique, especially within the herb world, is that you really absolutely stand out as a, I know it is you and the community, but as a name and as a brand and as the place to go for herbs, you absolutely stand out. And I think there are thousands and thousands of people, clearly, that if you were to ask where would you buy herbs from, your company is almost 100% of the time recommended, which is incredible. And the tremendous amount of work that has gone through social media, and as you say, you post 365 days, you've kind of got a relentless energy. How on earth do you manage to keep that up? Because you are so infectiously passionate and positive. It's really incredible the level of passion, the level of, I suppose, just how genuine you are with everything. How on earth do you sustain that?
Well, I'm a big believer in something called positive energy, and some of the people listening to this will understand what that means, and others will just think it sounds really cool. I mean, both are true. but for me, positive energy, it's not about being happy all the time. It's not about being kind of like positive all the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's about surrounding yourself with things and people that actually give that energy to you and you give it back to them. And that's why I'm incredibly lucky in terms of what I do, because I'm surrounded by that. One of the things that I always say to people, and at the moment I'm talking to a number of like young people who are just trying to get into this industry, and I'm trying to give them the best advice that I can. This isn't a job. You know, this is a lifestyle. So people say, you know, that phrase about if you do something you love, you do a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. But it is a hard job. It's a really hard job. But I love it. And I think that I'd rather be doing this than anything else. You know, in a few weeks' time, my office is going to move. It's going to move outside. I'm going to be in the polytunnels literally 10 hours a day. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. The wind is going to cause problems. I know all that, but I'd rather be out there engaging my senses than I would be in an insulated house where I don't even know that spring has arrived when it does. I get so much from other people. You know, I suppose the energy that I give out, I get back tenfold. You know, one of the things that is so cool about my job is that in about, I don't know, 6 weeks' time, we're going to start dispatching plants again. And when we send out, you know, let's say on the first week, 1,000 orders, 2,000 orders, the day after we dispatch all those boxes of herbs, we're going to get so much feedback. We're going to get so many people tag us in Instagram stories, and it's their energy that makes me want to get up the next day.
Yeah.
It's their energy when they're going, wow, this is blackcurrant sage. It smells amazing. Like strawberry mint. Like, guys, this is amazing. Because after 13 years, I could be forgiven for not having that same reaction. You know, when you're surrounded by like 5,000, 10,000 blackcurrant sage plants.
Yeah.
You could be forgiven for just going, yeah, there's 10,001. I mean, I'm lucky in that I love blackcurrant sage, so I don't have that problem. I'm a bit sad, but let's say orange mint or something that wouldn't be in my top 10.
Yeah.
I get that reaction from other people when they literally post a video and they're like, I cannot believe how strongly this sells of Orange. And it's really, really, it's magical for me. It really is. It sounds like a cliche or something, but I literally sit here looking at the phone. If we get tagged in 100 stories, I'll go through each one and I'll be like, ah, that's what I remember. That's why I love strawberry mint. That's why I love blackcurrant sage. And I just love that.
That is amazing. I can see how you do sustain it through that energy that you get. And you do get that back. And as I've said, there is a really loyal following. And when I say following, I'm not talking about Instagram following, although there is a real kind of loyalty to what you do. And it's not just because of the positive energy and the passion and everything like that. Let's go kind of back to the core of what you're doing in terms of the herbs. Your plants are absolutely fantastic as well. And this is not me trying to advertise what you do necessarily, but they genuinely are. And I think that has a lot to say for the success of it as well, doesn't it?
I think so. But I think that in terms of the plants, it's actually a 50-50 thing. So it's about supplying, you know, a good product, but it's also about giving people the confidence and the inspiration and the education to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in retail in jobs that gave me a lot less satisfaction than my current job, if you can call it a job. And it's all about maintaining that customer experience the whole way through. So, you know, my worst nightmare is the idea that somebody would buy our herb plants. They sort of walk away, they get them home, or they arrive, and then it's like, you're on your own, mate.
Yeah.
What do I do now? Oh, I don't know. That's my worst nightmare, because it's like the customer service just drops off.
Yeah.
For us, it's about maintaining that relationship. It's about, you know, we want to know how they grow. Yeah. There's no stupid questions. If somebody wants to get in touch and go, I've bought these strawberry mint plants, I don't know how to look after them, send us a message. Yeah. And we will 100%, you can tell I love talking, and I won't stop. You know, I will literally talk them through the process.
Yeah.
I think so many people, you must see this on social media as well, like so many people are really, really into growing. They're really enthusiastic and they want to grow things. But for whatever reason, they might be lacking in the confidence or like just a little bit of know-how. You know, there's a huge difference, I think, between like knowledge and wisdom. You know, you've got all the knowledge out there on the internet. But yeah. I know myself that when I was starting Urban Herbs, I was incredibly grateful for all the advice that I got from just a few older growers. And they didn't tell me anything I couldn't have found on Google or from watching a YouTube video or something. It's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And hopefully, and I really hope that this doesn't come across in any way as being arrogant, but you know, if we can pass on just like 1% of wisdom that we've accumulated from other people and actually feed that back to the people who support us, it's like happy days. That's mission objective for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. No, I think you're totally right. And I think the way that you do that is really admirable, because I think there are so many times that I think, as I've gone through my own kind of growing journey and continue to go through it, is there are things that you will inevitably, nobody has grown everything. They just haven't. It's impossible for one person to grow everything. And I think the first time that you grow something new, you absolutely don't know what you're doing. You don't, because you've not experienced that growing journey of that plant. You've not seen it from start to end. You don't know what to expect. You might think you do, but you don't. And I think to be able to pass that on through conversation or through social media or through however means you're able to do that, I think really is incredibly admirable. And that is a massive part of growing. Yes, the putting the plant in the ground and then nurturing it is a huge part of it. But and you can kind of wing that to a certain extent, but you do need a bit of am I going down the right path? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's so important. It's not really a question as such, it's more of an agreement as to what you said.
100%. And it's something that we see kind of daily on social media. And the other thing that I would just add to that is that it's something that I'm increasingly aware of, that actually this isn't like, how many times have you seen the phrase, you know, isn't it lovely to grow this? Well, yeah, it is. But actually, I think increasingly it's becoming necessary, because with the increasing price of food and the mental health aspect that is becoming, I think, increasingly a factor, it's increasingly kind of actually like, no, seriously, this is really important. We have to crack on here. We need to tell people that they can grow things, because actually it's going to save a few quid and it might make you feel a lot better.
100%. I totally agree. It would be remiss of me to not mention your book that's out in March as well, because I think that is also another brilliant way of helping people, I suppose, kind of guiding towards the right direction for some of these things. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, firstly, the book that I've written, I'm incredibly grateful to the publisher for allowing me to write the book that I have written, because at the end of the day, I set out with a very, very clear objective. And that clear objective was that I didn't want to write another gardening book.
Yeah.
I didn't want to write another book about growing herbs, because there are so many really, really great books already out there.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to put pen to paper unless I was actually going to add something. And what they've actually allowed me to write is a book that educates, but also inspires in equal measure. And in a very, very early meeting with the editor, I explained that I wanted to write a love letter to herbs.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be just pure download from my head, how you can grow these plants, but why you really should, and also how you can do so and make it look really cool.
100%.
So essentially the book is, you know, you get some growing information, you get some basic principles that I think will help people to grow. And then there's a number of projects, and we talk people through step by step how they can do these projects. They're all really achievable. They're all projects that literally you can do whether you are in an apartment that doesn't have any outdoor growing space.
Yeah.
They're projects that you can do if you've got 6-7 acres. If all you've got is like a balcony, you can still do most of these projects. So we're talking like projects like a bee buffet. That's one of my that could be my favorite project, actually. But the idea is that it's inspiring people to provide a buffet for bees. So going back to that street food market kind of principle, we're providing bees with a starter, a main course, and a dessert. So you've got the early flowering herb varieties that will provide that fix, that source of resources for the bees early in the spring, the herbs that are going to flower kind of early summer, and then the amazing varieties that just go on and on into autumn provides that late season source of resources for the bees. So, you know, that's just an example of one of the projects. The other one actually that I should mention is the herb pizza pantry garden, which we had literally so much fun researching and testing, mainly because it just involved eating lots and lots of homemade pizza. I mean, Adam, I've got to stress, you literally have to test these things. You can't put it in a book unless it works.
No, of course. No, it'd be terrible if you didn't, wouldn't it? And of course, you get to enjoy all that pizza.
This is very true. We actually started a tradition here at Urban Herbs headquarters, which was Pizza Friday. And then in the interest of research, it actually expanded into Pizza Monday and Pizza Wednesday as well.
Yeah. When does research become, I just love all this pizza? I can't wait to see it. I really can't. It's the end of March, it's out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out on the 30th of March. It's available for pre-order at the moment. But yeah, actually, you know what? I'll break this news on your podcast.
Okay.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
I know that you're based in Birmingham as well.
I am indeed.
And on the 1st of April, I'm going to be doing a live event, literally about 50 metres from where I set up my very first herb stall.
Amazing.
And it's going to be at an independent bookshop in Bearwood. It's a fantastic place actually called The Bear Bookshop.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there all day, and there's going to be copies of the book available. I'm going to be there to talk to people about the book.
Amazing.
And if anybody wants me to scribble in it, I will. But yeah, it's just really exciting. So that's probably the first time that I've told anybody that, actually.
That is absolutely, mate. I cannot wait. I'll absolutely come. Did you say the 1st of April?
Yeah, April Fool's Day. You can't write that, can you?
Well, I was going to say, are you sure? This isn't just one massive April Fool's then. Lovely. Well, I'll put all the information for the book and the event in the show notes for everyone to be able to find out. I think something else that you've done, going back slightly to what we were talking about, the community, and I suppose what you've started to build and what everyone else has built on, you've then very recently continued with the Herb Club as well, which I think is really just quite unique again. What's the idea behind that for anyone that's not seen about that?
So we launched the Herb Club last week, and the Herb Club is something a little bit different. Basically, it's a membership scheme that is designed for Urban Herbs customers and supporters,
right?
Who, I mean, you know, it's essentially, if you boil it down to the basics, it's a tiered discount scheme whereby your membership of the Herb Club actually gets you a discount on every single order that you place with Urban Herbs. You get some of the tiers, you know, you get free merchandise. But when you boil it down to something very, very simple, we wanted to take the amount of knowledge that we could transfer to people to the next level. I heard a statistic about 6 months ago that led me to start to develop the Herb Club. And that statistic is that on social media, the average length of attention span is 8 seconds. So, you know, you've basically, if you're doing a video or something on social media, you've essentially got 8 seconds to convey a message. And I mean, I'm just going to go on the record and say, I absolutely love short videos. I think that, you know, you can actually, some of my favorite accounts on Instagram just absolutely nail that format. And, you know, after I've done 12 hours of potting outside, I see these brilliant accounts posting these inspirational videos and I feel inspired to go back outside and do something else. But we wanted to go a bit deeper because we feel that 8 seconds isn't enough time to tell the whole story of growing a herb throughout an entire growing season.
Mm.
We're also massively aware that, you know, there's a cost of living crisis and, you know, we're not immune from it here. You know, like a lot, I think we, like a lot of people, are going through direct debits and going, do I really need that? So when you actually boil the Herb Club down, what we're actually offering is two online workshops a month for $4.99. So for less than £2.50, you can join us for a workshop where we'll deep dive into growing a herb plant. It's also a bit of community spirit because I think it brings people together.
Mm.
What's really exciting is that some charities have actually joined Herb Club and they're actually going to, depending on availability, live stream the workshop so all their members can actually watch it remotely or watch it back after the event.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, the old format of going and doing a talk for your local gardening club. You know, time-wise, we really struggle to do that. Yeah. But through Herb Club, we're actually able to offer that experience, but in a really, really personal way and get that kind of two-way engagement going. And, you know, we're just really excited about it because it's another way that we can grow the community. It's another way that we can build on the already really, really strong community that we've got. And just share that passion, share that joy of growing in a way that makes it accessible. And I've got to stress this for as many people as possible, because, you know, the joy of growing things, it shouldn't be something that anybody ever feels kind of like priced out of. I appreciate that, you know, there's an irony to me saying it shouldn't be behind a paywall, but when I have created a paywall, but we've tried to keep the base level membership as low as possible to make it available for as many people as possible. And alongside that, we carry on doing what we're doing because on the social media, you know, we are 100% committed to carrying on sharing that passion, sharing that joy through the daily posts on Urban Herbs. I've already given you one exclusive bit of news there. I can't elaborate too much more, but this year we have got some amazing, I mean, seriously amazing varieties that are going to be available.
Right. Okay.
So over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing little previews and deep dives into each one of those varieties. And then for myself personally, many of the people listening to this will know that I created a personal account called Andy Grows Herbs. And I created this account to actually provide a behind the scenes perspective on what we do here at Urban Herbs. And I created it because I wanted to tell that more personal story. I wanted to provide a little bit, a perspective that's purely me, because, you know, let's be honest, like what I do with my life, it's not normal. It's really not normal. I've chosen to do something that is, you know, really quite unusual. And I wanted to kind of like share that. You know, the book is very much written by me, informed by my experience with Urban Herbs, for example. And Andy Grows Herbs has actually got some really, really cool projects coming up this year because, Adam, I wanted to share this, that basically as part of the book launch, I was lucky enough to be able to go over to New York in November and meet up with some growers over there that had actually really helped me to make the book applicable to a sort of like transatlantic sort of setting.
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, these growers, who some really innovative growers in the New York, Brooklyn area, and they were actually able to advise me on the local conditions, you know, like how cold does it actually go when the wind blows off the Hudson River? You know, it turns out really bloody cold, to be honest. And I was actually able to meet up with them, but also actually just zoom out a little bit from the kind of the UK horticultural kind of bubble and see what's going on over there. And I had a really profound experience over there. One of the growers that I know introduced me to a rooftop garden that's on the 9th floor roof of an old Methodist church. And what they're doing is they're actually growing food for the food bank that they distribute downstairs. And I sat on this rooftop talking to the volunteers and I realized, like, wow, this is really important. You know, this is a message that needs to be shared. So I'm going to be talking more on that through Andy Grows Herbs over the coming 12 months
okay.
about how actually anybody can grow food. You know, you can grow expensive, relatively expensive ingredients in small quantities, save yourself some money. So Andy Grows Herbs is going to be opening up a little bit more, I think.
Okay.
Being a little bit more me, talking about my personal story. Because one of the things that I'm really, really fired up about is that you do not need lots and lots and lots of money to be involved in horticulture. You do not need acres and acres to grow on. You know, and it's the reason why I say it's going to be sort of quite honest is what I'm planning to do is very much tell a story that doesn't sell in any way a kind of like full stream that you're going to be fully self-sustainable, you know, Tom and Barbara in the good lifestyle.
Yeah.
I live in a former council house in an area which many, many websites describe as an area with significant social deprivation. I disagree with that description, to be honest, because it's a lot richer in many, many ways than other areas that we've lived in. But despite that, you know, growing food in your front garden is probably not the normal activity around here. That's what I'm going to do. So the garden at the front of our former council house, I'm going to dig up and turn into a food growing space. And I'm going to be telling the story of that over the next 6 months. It's going to be a very honest story. I'm going to talk about the reaction that it gets. I'm going to talk about how much money it's potentially saved me, if it saves me money. And I can't wait to share that story with people because anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Anybody can do this. And the friendship that I've actually struck up with this rooftop garden in New York, that's remained. I'm actually talking to them a little bit later today, hopefully. And watch this space, because I'm really fired up about this.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many problems in society at the minute, and growing things helps.
In more ways than one, that's the thing.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that come through in the journey of that. I think when you put that up on Instagram this week, I just think it's just great to see it. And I think there's a thing about front gardens, underutilized anyway. So what better way to use it than actually for a kind of a production element as well? Do you know what I mean? In terms of you're producing something that you can use for yourselves, but also there's nothing more open than a front garden. There's nothing more visible than a front garden. And I think, as you say, the fact that it isn't something that traditionally happens with a front garden, certainly not from a produce point of view, that's not something that happens, and for that to be so visible, it's going to be a great journey. I can't wait to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I mean, and also I can't stop, you know, project managing. Mm. And you know, it's again in the interest of honesty, I've costed it all out, and I've currently got a budget of -£8, so we will see how it develops. But I'm really excited about the journey.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. I'm excited to share it, because actually after I started to talk about it on social media, the amount of messages that I got from growers in like Philadelphia, in Detroit, in New York, you know, this is something that brings us all together.
Yeah.
And that's so, so cool.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. Well, I can't wait to see all of that. I think within all of this, what I don't know, perhaps, is because you've turned your garden essentially into a series of polytunnels, I suppose what we don't see is the garden that you have got or haven't got because of the polytunnels. So I suppose the next couple of questions that I've got are about you outside of Urban Herbs, even outside of kind of Andy Grows Herbs in a way, you as a plant lover, I suppose. So the next series of questions are about you as a gardener rather than as a herb grower.
Yeah.
Are you ready for those? So the first one, if you were stuck on a desert island with only one other garden, famous or otherwise, doesn't need to be someone well known, who would it be and why?
It would be with my wife, because there's no point growing things unless you're able to share the joy of growing. And I love the energy that Kate brings to our garden space, and she reminds me it's really, really cool to grow things. You know, like her reaction is quite like a Latin name doesn't come into it. It's just like, you know, let's just grow pak choi because, you know, we love dishes that have pak choi in it. And that's kind of like something that we all need to do a bit more, I think.
Totally agree. If you could never garden again, so this isn't a question about gardening, but if you could never garden again or grow plants again, what would you spend your time doing instead?
That is a fantastic question. I'm trying to think of something more interesting than saying watching cricket all day. But I'm gonna stick with that, actually. The truth of the matter is, and the reason why it's such a difficult question for me to answer, is that the growing stuff that I do, it's kind of my everything. Like, and that might be a bit of a tragic sort of answer, really. But it's the truth that actually, if you sort of were to take that away, I'm not quite sure how I would fill my day.
I feel bad now. I'm taking away everything.
That being said, being able to watch cricket all day would be really, really cool.
Okay.
So yeah, watching cricket all day and then eating nice food with family in the evening.
Nice. Okay. What a great answer. And finally, if you had to flee your garden right now, which one thing or plant would you take with you?
Oh, well, I'm trying to think of a more interesting answer than my outdoor Bluetooth speaker. it genuinely is my favourite sort of gardening tool at the moment. I would say that there is a particular huge pot next to the polytunnel that's got an apple tree in it and a selection of low-growing thyme plants. I think I'd probably grab that, although I'd need a forklift truck to do so.
And that could be arranged.
I would have to crane it over the roof of my house because that pot was actually so big that we couldn't fit it through the garage door.
Well, you can physically fit inside it, can't you?
Oh yeah. I got stuck inside that pot. So yeah, I'd probably grab that, although not in a hurry.
I mentioned in the introduction about Andy's infectious love of herbs, and after listening to our conversation, I'm sure you'll agree. The Herb Club is now open, and you can find all the details about that and more by following them on Instagram at urbanherbsuk or via their website urban-herbs.co.uk. Also, the Herb Gardening Handbook is available for pre-order now, and you'll find a link in the show notes to take you right to it. You'll also find a link in the show notes for more information about that event happening on the 1st of April. Join me again next week where I have yet another fantastic green-fingered guest from the world of plants. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at viewfromthepottingbench and don't forget to sign up to my newsletter to hear all about the things going on with me this year. You can find the link on my website, viewfromthepottingbench.com.